In a world where good news is hard to find, WAVA and One Heart DC present Good News for the City. We're here to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and what His body, the church, is doing to spread this good news in the Washington, D.C. metro area, including Northern Virginia, Maryland, and D.C. As Jesus said in John 17, "Father, that they may be one, just as we are one." Welcome to Good News for the City.
It's the gospel that makes a way.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Good News for the City, the broadcast radio partnership between WAVA Radio and One Heart DC. My name is Brian Bales, and I have the privilege of being your host for this show. And you'll catch me right here on WAVA on the weekends, or maybe you'll catch me at Christian Fellowship Church as the lead pastor on Sunday out here in Ashburn, Virginia. But wherever you catch me, whether it's on the radio, at church, or even on the podcast that you can get at goodnewsforthecity.com, the focus is always this: how the gospel makes a way. You know, we often open this show by taking a look at Scripture and then reflecting on what that should mean in our life. And this show is no different when we open up and look at the book of Psalms, chapter 82, verse 3 and 4. This is what it says: "Defend the weak and the fatherless, uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed, rescue the weak and the needy, deliver them from the hand of the wicked." What this passage emphasizes is that we need to do what we can to help those who actually need help. But what does that look like all the time, especially right here in the Washington metro area in this day and age? And so today, what we're going to do is hear an update from an organization that we've heard from before, but just a while back. It's a Christian organization called Reset 180 that puts this command of God in action by working to end human trafficking and commercial sexual exploitation and restore those who've been impacted from that time. So I invite you this morning or this afternoon or this evening, whenever you happen to be catching the show, to listen and find out how you can join the fight and be the key to someone's freedom. And to tell us about this, we have right here in studio Kim Luckaball. Kim, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Barry. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, hey, I just appreciate the time that you've given us today. You became executive director of Reset 180 back in May of 2022. Mm-hmm. So not super long ago, but
not long at all.
You know, that's sort of the outpouring of the fact that you're a passionate servant seeking to work wherever God places you. As I think of some of the things that I see here about you, it's clear that God's given you a heart to care for those who are overlooked by our community and desperately needing to know someone who cares. And God specially put some tenderness in your heart for victims and survivors of trafficking at a women's conference at your church, Reston Bible Church, a great church here in the Washington metro area, longtime friend of the show, longtime friend of me personally, Mike Minter, and now Jim Supp, the teaching pastor there, great guy. Ever since that moment, though, you've been seeking ways to support these special women, rather, when God called you to now the role that you're in of being the executive director of 180. You were a senior program manager before at Volunteer Fairfax. You volunteered community, stay-at-home mom when your children were young. I read this, and you do a lot of things. I mean, even in the fall of 2022, our current governor of Virginia appointed you to serve on your advisory board or his advisory board for service and volunteerism. Mm-hmm. So just thanks for that. You're a native to this area. You and your husband, you live in Fairfax. You know it well. You have three adult children. And you know this area, and when you get some time, you like to spend time at the beach and other places. But thanks for spending time with us. Whenever I get a chance to talk to someone, one of the things that I like to ask them about is, you know, hey, what's the beginning of your story? We often catch people at the end, like, hey, we're here to talk about Reset 180, but clearly God started doing a work in your life to bring you to where you were. When did you first feel, I guess, whether it was here at Reset 180 or whether it was God moving in other ways to sort of serve people from the heart that He'd given you?
That is a great question. Thank you for asking. I really think that so much of that goes back to my childhood, with God placing some real special people in my life and my family, my grandma, my aunt, my grandmother, my mom, my dad, all these individuals created within me, or I should say God used them to create in me, a desire to serve and care for others. I, like you said, I grew up locally and I was always in church, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. the community was always important with the local fire department's ham and oyster dinners. And,
sure.
And that's where I learned to serve, was uh-huh. in the church and at those firemen dinners. And my parents and grandparents really instilled that in me. My grandma would take my sister and I to a nursing home in Leesburg when we were little to visit with the senior citizens who were residing there. And seeing how that brought joy to their lives as a little girl, sometimes it could be a little frightening, but seeing the passion that she had for caring and serving for others really instilled that value in me from the very beginning.
And that's such a good reminder that many times that is caught more than taught.
It is.
When we see the examples, and clearly the examples of you've had of people in your life, family and grandparents, of serving others has played out in your life, and how you're now specifically using the skill sets and the abilities God has given you as executive director of Reset 180. Now, we have a lot of longtime listeners of the show. It strikes me as crazy sometimes that we've been on for over 5 years, but we had you back in December of 2020, and or at least talking about Reset 180, not you specifically, because you weren't the executive director then. And so we may have some really astute listeners like, oh, I remember that.
Right.
But I'm just going to be honest. Sometimes I don't remember what I did yesterday, so I'm not going to expect people to remember something from December of 2020, but I do encourage you, go catch the podcast. You can hear about that there. I had some good information. So catch some people up who may not remember, or some people who are completely new, about what Reset 180 is specifically, and then what the mission God has placed upon this organization's heart to accomplish.
Yes, so Reset 180 is a anti-trafficking organization. We're located in Reston, and our whole purpose at Reset 180 as a Christian organization is to prevent human trafficking and commercial sexual exploitation, to disrupt the demand of the networks that feed it,
yeah,
and then also to restore the lives of those who have been impacted by it. And we do that in a myriad of ways, and through our public awareness, through some of our outreach opportunities where we actually go out and work in the community to help disrupt that demand. And then with our work with the survivors to care for them, restore their lives. And as we're looking forward, we're looking towards building a house in the Northern Virginia area, specifically for victims of female victims of human trafficking.
Specifically because, as I've had a chance to know a little bit about Reset 180 over the years, it's one thing to get them out, if I understand it correctly, of the trafficking business. It's another thing to launch them into the next step of
life. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so we'll talk a little bit more about it if we can. I'll get to this in a moment, but I love the fact that you're multifaceted in what you're doing at Reset 180. You're trying to disrupt the demand, right?
I love that word, disruption.
Yeah, it's a great word.
It's so unusual. Some places has a negative connotation, but here we're disrupting for good.
Yeah. Yeah, man, there's a whole sermon to be preached there. I have to think about that. We can talk about that afterwards, right? But yeah, and I think it could be easy, especially depending upon where our listeners might be right now, to begin to develop a picture, because the vast majority of work that you do is in the Northern Virginia area.
Right.
And, you know, there's some stereotypes, I think, sometimes about certain geographic regions in the Washington metro area. Maybe one of the stereotypes of the suburban areas out in the Northern Virginia area is, really? I mean, that just seems like that problem would fit in another stereotype, or that problem would be there. And I know when the first opportunity I had to come into actually some of the statistics, to come into the reality, to see where some of this human trafficking was hiding, what I would like to say, in plain sight.
Right.
It was, for me, a little breathtaking, actually, because I realized how, I guess the word I would use is naive, I was about how this works, what is going on, and all of those things. So maybe there are people there like me. At first they're like, well, really? I mean, not in my backyard or not in my area. Let's talk numbers. Let's talk about presence. What sort of presence does the human trafficking have actually in the Northern Virginia area? And what are then, when we talk about this, are some misconceptions maybe that we could address to say, no, this is actually how it works?
You know, that's a really good question. I also shared that mindset a while back. So when I used to lead a Christian scouting organization for girls here locally, and a mom approached me and said, hey, this was about over 10 years ago. Hey, Kim, this is a growing issue, trafficking. I'm like, wait, what? That happens over there somewhere. She said, no, it's happening here. What are you talking about? And I became more aware. I started learning more about it and was horrified by the local presence. Me, I grew up in Ashburn, went with cornfields and dirt roads, and to know that my community, the region I grew up in, is facing and struggling with this on a daily basis was horrifying. So some numbers, as you were asking, so let's go, I can take this from a couple of different ways. We can talk about the people being sold online through online ads. But then we can also talk about the illicit massage businesses and the impact that that has locally. But for people being sold online in Northern Virginia, actually within 50-mile radius of our office, in 2019, so we use this technology that will scrape illicit websites of people who are being sold online for sexual purposes. Mm-hmm. And we use that for our outreach and disruption work, and where we will send them some text messages. Hey, I'm so-and-so from Reset 180, and we understand that you may be struggling with this, and we want to help. So that's how one of the ways that we use that technology. But so in 2019, there were 19,873 online listings for sexual services within that 50-mile radius of our office. Then in 2020, the number went up to 92,883. In 2021, it increased again to 121,783. And then in 2022, we just recently learned that there were 148,206 listings for online sales for sexual services within a 50-mile radius of our office. And that boils down to a potential victim, number of potential victims of 43,098.
Yeah, I was not super great all the time with math off the top of my head, but that's almost 3,000 ads per week
that we're talking about
within 50 miles.
Within 50 miles of Reston.
Right.
Which encompasses Loudoun, Prince William, Fauquier, going up into Maryland, into D.C., down into Fredericksburg, West Virginia Panhandle. That's our region. That's a DMV.
Yeah. And so that's one way where this is occurring. It's happening digitally. We know the digital blueprint has opportunities for good and clearly opportunities for what we're talking about here, which is not good. You also mentioned in passing that I think we can look at a business from the outside and think it is one thing, but maybe it's something else behind.
Right.
Speak to that a bit.
That's the illicit massage business. And so many times that we see, we'll drive past a strip mall and we'll see massage with a phone number. It may say ZC Massage or something like that. And you're like, oh, well, that must be a mom and pop shop. I guess that's okay. And it's not in most cases. So some of those places you're going to see where they have like a shades drawn in the window, a blinking red and blue sign that says open. Mm-hmm. The hours are going to be into the night, and it's a phone number. You have to buzz to get in some cases. Or me as a female, if I try to make an appointment, I'll be told males only.
Okay.
And so those are what we call illicit massage businesses. Mm-hmm. And those are being operated by women who are brought to America, typically from China, Korea, and in some cases Thailand, and their passports and visas are withheld from them, and they have to pay a debt to the person who brought them here, promising them the American dream. Only it's not a dream at all, and they're trapped into sex trafficking. Mm. So in 2019, Reset 180 conducted an IMB report.
Okay.
And that report really focused on Fairfax County. But it's a snapshot of our region, I believe. But Fairfax County is the one with the greatest presence of these illicit massage businesses in our region. We call them IMBs for short. So if you hear me using that phrase, that's what it means. So in this report, we've learned, and with other information we've received, we've updated our numbers. But we've learned that there are over 120 IMBs in Fairfax County. And according to that study I just quoted, we can estimate that each victim worker that I just mentioned will have approximately 1,200 customers per year. And there are conservatively 240 women exploited in these more than 120 IMBs.
Wow.
So when you multiply 240 women by 1,200 customers per year, the totality in Fairfax County for this over $25 million industry is 288,000 occurrences of exploitation just in the county of Fairfax.
And, you know, we say this at this show, it's the gospel that makes a way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be very easy to hear that over and over on the show and to think about the gospel through the very fundamental, most important part about the spiritual salvation that Jesus provides for us. But the gospel is also bigger than that. When he uses his people to provide physical salvation because of what we've done spiritually into the lives of people. And these are actual real people, real women who are in need. And you just mentioned a couple moments ago about how it's sort of disrupting the digital format by texting in the middle of it and getting those connections. How can we do that? Trying to keep, number one, supply down, you know, I'm sorry, and try to deal with demand. And we know just basic economics, if there's demand, there's supply.
Exactly.
There's all of those things we could talk about. And I would never want to diminish the image of God in a woman by just speaking to them as supply and demand. I'm just trying to draw that that's, you know, you got to work on both ends, as I understand. What are some other ways that you disrupt, maybe at an IMB or something like that, to both help the person who's being trafficked, but also the person who's trapped in this idea that it's okay to go and to do this?
That's a great question. That is so powerful, because so many people look at the ones buying the women as just disgusting people. And it's not that the person is disgusting, because God loves that person.
Yeah.
And we're all about restoring lives. And so we recognize that these people are trapped in their own issue there.
Yeah.
And it's not ideal when you look at who God creates us to be. And we know God has the power to break them out.
Yeah.
So we are going to the illicit massage businesses, and we talk to the men as they're approaching. Do you understand what's going on here? Have you been here before? This is what's really happening. And some of the guys will say, yeah, that's not my thing. I paid for this time. I've got my appointment. And we had a situation unfold where, see, when we talk to them, it's a very non-confrontational discussion.
Sure.
And we, if we can get them for the first few minutes, then we can have a 30 to 45 minute conversation with them. And we just start pouring the love of Jesus into that person. And we try to share with them who Jesus is. We ask them, can we pray over you? Can we pray for you and the struggles you're going through? And we'll try to find out what's going on in their life that brings them to this place. But we've had situations where we've been able to convince people not to go in, to cancel that appointment, or just no show for it. And then we've had another situation where a guy walked in, or actually he was talking to one of our volunteers, and he said, okay, well, you know, I've got my appointment. I paid for it. I'm going in. And he came back out 5 minutes later, and he said, I canceled my appointment. I got a refund.
Yeah.
So we know we're making a difference.
Mm-hmm.
We're making an impact. But it's more than what we're doing. It's what God's doing.
That's just a man, that'll preach. You know, maybe you're listening to this right now and you think, all right, I don't even have to listen to this show. I'm in. I want to volunteer. I want to be a part. It's been a while. And I haven't even mentioned your website, so I want to mention it now. You can find out more about Reset 180 by just going to reset180.com. It is a nonprofit, but it is a .com address, not a .org address. So reset180.com. You can find it on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, however you do it. You can just search for Reset 180. But I want to maybe sort of take this next step by asking this question. I think it could be easy to say, okay, that's not my issue. Like, I don't struggle with this, and I don't feel particularly called to say that I should be concerned about this. What would you say to someone who maybe had this thought of like, as Christians, maybe that's not, shouldn't be my thing, or that sort of stuff? What would you say is so important that the Christian community, whether as an individual or through their church or through an organization, actually lead the fight and respond to this? Because whether you're Christian or not, I think, you know, we look around, most people would agree trafficking is wrong, right? I mean, it clearly is, but even for those who don't have Jesus Christ in their heart, they'd probably agree with that. What's the significance of the Christian community stepping in? And then obviously, you've already mentioned prayer, which I think is so powerful.
It is. It's very powerful, and that's the foundation of our organization. We have a director of prayer on our leadership team, and so we know that's foundational. So that's something anyone can do. God calls us, actually Jesus calls us to serve and care for the least of these.
Yeah.
And I look at this and that's what we're doing. When he says, I was hungry and you fed me. Mm. I was naked and you clothed me. Yeah. That's what we're doing. And we're reaching in there and we are being the hands and feet to Jesus, whether it's through the outreach that we do or the awareness events that we hold, which is volunteer led again. We're helping even teens become more aware of this issue. So as they become confronted with it, with friends at school or other peer groups, they can start recognizing what this looks like and how to lead that person to additional support and resources. Or even just say, hey, can I pray with you?
Yeah. Can I follow up with that for a second? Because if I remember correctly, there's this misnomer that girls who are trafficked, women who are trafficked, fall also in a very particular category. Maybe they have come and been brought over from a different country, that, mm-hmm. but that isn't necessarily the case. We're talking people right there in their high schools who have grown up in your hometowns and those sort of things as well, right? And they're looking for, I'm about to make a really bad song statement, looking for love in all the wrong places, right?
Yeah. But there's another piece to this whole thing beyond the illicit massage businesses. There are four types of trafficking present in Northern Virginia. IMBs is just one of them. Mm-hmm. There's pimp-controlled trafficking. There's gang-controlled trafficking. And the most horrendous, in my opinion, I don't know if you can really rank these, but to me this is the most horrendous, is familial trafficking, where parents are actually trafficking out their children for drugs and rent money.
Mm.
And so it is happening all across the spectrum. IMB is just the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot more out there. So it is present in so many ways. The gangs are very present in Northern Virginia. They're in the schools. We have the sugar daddies that are enticing the young girls in the schools and even our college kids. And like, oh, well, you're just going to be an escort.
Yeah.
And that turns from one thing to another to another.
Yeah.
And there's so much shame and guilt that's why it's so important that when you come across this or when you see this, that you fill that person with love mm-hmm. and that they don't feel that shame because they feel enough of that already.
Yeah, that's such a good word. And I know that, you know, hearing this, people are like, how could I not pray? How could I not maybe take this next step? And I know that, you know, if you go to reset180.com, you always have things that are coming up, sort of next steps. If you go there now, there's a next fundraiser coming up, right? As
mm-hmm.
well as a meeting for people who may be leading churches
mm-hmm.
who have information. We encourage you to go there and learn more about that in that way. But if I was sending someone to reset180.com to get them some information, what would it tell them about how they can help maybe in the fight against human trafficking?
It would show them ways they can volunteer. We mm-hmm. have a lot of volunteer opportunities, whether it's episodic volunteering or skills-based volunteering or a dedicated way to do that. There are ways that people can give.
Yeah.
There are opportunities that people...
I'm going to pause you there. I noticed if you were in studio, you could see her kind of get quiet when she said give. It's okay to say that because that's an impact that we can make if God's blessed us with financial resources. Financial resources are needed to make
very,
a difference.
And
as you give, I can speak for this. Reset 180 is run unbelievably well, and that money that God has given you to steward, if you give to them, will be stewarded well because it's God's money.
It is. And that's truly how we look at it. When we make our decisions about how we spend money, we look at it through that stewardship lens.
Yes.
And people have gifted this to us for this mission. How are we being good stewards of what has been given to us?
Yeah.
So that's so important. But pray. Oh, my goodness. I mentioned earlier prayer is the foundation of our organization.
Mm-hmm.
And I really mean that. Prayer is so important. If that is what you feel called to do, then or whatever else you feel called to do, stop and pray.
Yeah.
And so that's critically important. Volunteer, serve, give, check out what we're doing so that you can find other ways to be engaged if God calls you to it.
Yeah. And I think after hearing all this, and just by the way, just thank you for just blessing us with this conversation, Kim. It could be easy to feel overwhelmed by it. But the good news is we have a God who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, who invites us into that process. And so I just want to thank you for saying yes to the process that God has invited you in, to be his hands and feet, to show the gospel making a way. And I encourage us as listeners, go to reset180.com, find out more about it. If you need to get a hold of them, you can always give them an informational email at info@reset180.com. Again, all the socials, Facebook, Instagram,
go to our social
Twitter,
media. That's where
LinkedIn,
we're most active.
Reset 180. And if, by the way, if you happen to suspect or maybe know someone or feel like human trafficking is happening around you, there's a www.humantraffickinghotline.org. You can go there and find out more information, know what to do in that way, mm-hmm. and to respond in the way that God asks you to respond. And so, again, Kim, thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
And again, thank you for proving this fact that we can't do it on our own, but God asked to do it with Him. Right. And as we step forward and make a difference right there in our neighborhood, right here in Northern Virginia, right in the Washington metro area, against this issue of human trafficking, we remember this. It's the gospel that makes a way.
It's the gospel that makes a way.
Thank you for joining us and listening to Good News for the City, a gospel partnership between WAVA and One Heart DC. This is a partnership movement which celebrates and seeks to accelerate the move of the gospel into the Washington, D.C. metro area. It is our prayer that through this radio broadcast ministry of Good News for the City, we will see transformed lives and communities, and more people responding to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to help bring unity to Bible-believing people and churches in order to multiply our impact in our city, and we would love for you to join us. You can learn more at goodnewsforthecity.com. That's goodnewsforthecity.com. Or you can go to WAVA.com, keyword good news. Or you can call us at 703-807-2266. 703-807-2266. And remember, it's the gospel that makes a way.